Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, the holidays come to the resort, plus new food.
Upcoming rumors, Mickey ears for a cause, trivia, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of November 7th, 2018. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out to Katie for joining Patreon at the Park Hopper level and to Janie for increasing her support to the cast member level. They get some pretty nice perks like access to the supporter Discord chat, nice DL Weekly swag from us, and more. If you want to join Katie and Janie and the 52 other supporters, head on over to disneylandweekly.com/support.
When you support the show, you get us closer to our milestones. The next milestone is just $31 away and gets all the supporters entered into a monthly drawing to get a free item from our merchandise store at disneylandweekly.com/store. Even just a dollar goes a long way to continue bringing weekly Disneyland news, information, and discussion coming your way.
If you want to have a voice in the podcast and our discussion topics, please head over to disneylandweekly.com/vote to register your choice for the next discussion topic. We have been getting a lot of great responses, so please keep up the great suggestions for the future of the show.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but we have finished booking our accommodations for the D23 Expo next year and our week at Disneyland right after. James over at Concierge was able to get us a great deal on our rooms at the Howard Johnson right across the street from Disneyland. He was even able to get us theme park views. Well, if you want to get a similar great experience, head on over to the official travel planners of Disneyland Weekly at concierge.com. James and Mike from Concierge will be joining us next week for our discussion about Walt Disney World for Disneyland natives and Disneyland for Walt Disney World natives. It should be an excellent conversation and answer your questions for them on the show. If you want to add your question to the list, please send us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com.
All right, so you guys, it's now time for my favorite part of... this is my favorite show of the month because it's a live stream and it's just so much fun. So shout out to all of our patrons that were able to join us tonight for the live stream. Mm-hmm. But also, I get to choose the next name for our next patron that gets to be on the show with us. And you guys, I had to upgrade. I used to pull the name out of a Mickey ears hat, but we have like... I think it's 54 names in here now. Mm-hmm. So we're using our Mickey Mouse D23 fan club box full of names, and I'm so excited to pick them, and I can't wait until we get up to our $400 level in support on Patreon, because that means I get to pick a second name.
Oh, and that she's so happy.
Even more exciting, because that second name will be getting a free piece of swag from our Disneyland store from us, Tag and I, to you. So
yeah.
Anyways, without further ado, not looking, we're going to pick a name.
Drum roll, please.
We have Connie Moreno, which I'm really excited about this because Connie goes to the park very often. So mm-hmm. She has a lot of just probably just a wealth of knowledge. She shares photos with us all the time of all of her recent trips. She was a part of the Disneyland Gazette, so she's just got all sorts of fun stuff, so I cannot wait to talk to her. So Connie, let us know if you would like to be on the show, because you are our November patron.
Now let's get to the news.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It's date night at Disneyland with the Elliott Brothers and the Disneyland Date Nighters. Let's dance.
The holidays officially begin at Disneyland on Friday, November 9th. A Christmas fantasy parade returns, as does Believe in Holiday Magic. Paint the Night, the Pixar Play Parade, and Remember Dreams Come True all go on hiatus. At this time, there is no scheduled nighttime spectacular at California Adventure.
So I'm sorry, but I'm going to go there. I am so sad that we don't have any, like, solid news on what's going on with World of Color. I am so sad that this has been down for as long as it has.
Right.
And we really don't have an idea of when exactly it's coming back. I'm hoping sooner rather than later, obviously, but it seems like there's some pretty big issues. But thankfully, we do have Paint the Night over at...
But it's going on hiatus. That's the whole point. It's going on hiatus, along with the Pixar Play Parade and Remember Dreams Come True. Now, Paint the Night makes sense because... Well, it doesn't make sense, but Pixar Play Parade makes, makes sense because the Christmas Fantasy Parade replaces it, and Remember Dreams Come True is replaced by Believe in Holiday Magic, so I feel like maybe they should just keep the Pixar Play Parade around,
you know,
the Paint the Night Parade around.
I almost feel like maybe we're missing something here. Maybe they're going to be doing something else, because it doesn't really make sense, because that, unless they just don't want you over in California Adventure at night, which I don't know why they wouldn't.
You know what they need to do? So have you seen anything about the Christmas show, the projection show that they have in Hollywood Studios out in Disney World?
No, I haven't.
So they do projections on their Tower of Terror.
Oh.
And that whole road that leads up to it has screens and projections and lights.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe they should do something like that for California Adventure, because they could transplant the show over.
That would be very cool. Great, yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Well, as has become common, the Disney Parks blog has posted their foodie guide to the Festival of the Holidays. We won't go over all of the options. You can do that by going to the link in our show notes at DisneylandWeekly.com. But there are a couple of items that we thought we would highlight. This was really hard for me to narrow it down to a couple of items because there are so many delicious looking things that they
have
here.
When it comes to food and having to take a long list of options, Teresa has such a hard time picking.
Yes. Okay, so I just picked a couple of them to share with you guys today, because some of these things we did, I think, already kind of talk about.
Sure.
But they have a holiday stuffing mac and cheese. Doesn't that just sound amazing? It's two of my favorite comfort foods combined into one.
Is that what that picture is right there?
That is what that picture is right there. We also have a Black Forest Yule log that also just looks delicious. And then something that was a little different that I would be really curious to try is a turkey and stuffing tamale with cranberry relish.
That's different.
Okay, I love tamales, first of all. Love them. This why this Midwest girl likes tamales as much as she does, I don't know. Love them. But I just think it's would actually be a very interesting combination. And
is
then,
that what that picture is there with the
yes,
like
the top left picture. And then I'm also going to choose this because it sounds really delicious to me, and usually these don't get me too excited, but they have a hot cocoa marshmallow macaron that looks really yummy to me,
That
too.
Does look good.
So what are some of your picks, Tag?
Put me on the spot.
Look at this. Chana masala with grilled garlic naan. Oh, yum.
Wow.
Pomegranate lemonade.
You know, all of it looks good. And like I said, you know, I just came off of a cruise. That's where I was last week. And all of this, like, if this was a buffet in front of me, I would just take all of it.
Yum.
I would taste all of it.
Yum, yum, yum.
Well, it's that time of year again. Candy canes will be coming to the resort starting at the end of the month. The dates that candy canes will be sold fresh at the parks are November 23rd, 26th, 28th, and 30th, and December 3rd, 5th, 7th, 10th, 12th, 14th, 17th, 19th, 21st, and 24th at the Candy Palace on Main Street, and over at Trolley Treats on November 24th, 27th, and 29th, and December 1st, 4th, 6th, 8th, 11th, 13th, 15th, 18th, 20th, 22nd, and of course Christmas Day. These dates will be posted in the show notes for reference if you didn't catch all that.
So, this, you know, this is one of my Disneyland bucket list items for sure. I would... Have you tried one of the candy canes?
I have not, but they look amazing.
I think it's just so cool that you can watch them make them, and they're, I mean, that's got to be the most fresh candy cane you probably ever will have in your life, because I don't know of any place that makes them fresh like that.
Right.
Because usually all, you know, when it comes to candy canes, I just see the ones that are, you know, in the cellophane box, wrapped in plastic,
hard.
That sort of thing. They're very hard. So I would be so curious to have one of these candy canes. I feel like it'd be a real treat.
But if you remember from our episode last year,
oh yes, they're very
they may not
popular.
Be made fresh. All of them.
Well, fresher than the ones I find at the Superstore, though.
Well, the Superstore, I sometimes wonder if those are there from like last year.
They very well could be. We seem to be getting a lot of rumors recently and a lack of news or confirmation from Disney, but World of Color Season of Light could be returning before the end of the year. The rumor states that Disney is working to get the show going before the holidays are over. Without World of Color, there is no nighttime entertainment in California Adventure for the holidays. So we kind of talked about this earlier, how there's this really big gap, and you know, it's just very strange that Disney doesn't have anything planned for nighttime entertainment over in California Adventure. I can't understand why they would try and have all of the crowds be over in Disneyland for nighttime entertainment. You'd think that it would be more logical to kind of have them spread out. So my fingers are definitely crossed that this is going to come true. Wishes do come true, right? Dreams do come true.
Yeah, this is Disney. Disney. Anything's possible. I mean, people have posted some stuff online that the decorations for that area for Season of Light have been placed out there, so that's one thing, right? Because they've you know, all that stuff is out there and ready. But then there's also you know, it's been down for, I mean, not quite a year yet, but it
seems like forever,
you know. So they've been doing a lot of work on it. It has to be coming back at some point, and I hope, because of the break in their schedule, I'm hoping that they'll at least keep Paint the Night or something for the evening time. Well, Laughing Place reported on a rumor about upcoming Disneyland After Dark themes and possible timeframes. Disneyland held a couple of these extremely popular nights earlier this year and looks to be bringing them back early next year. The rumored themes are 90s Night and Date Night at Disneyland.
Oh.
The 90s Night may occur in January, around the same time as the first event last year, and the Date Night would fit with Valentine's Day in February.
I love these Disneyland After Dark things, and I love, you know, I love that they're theming them too, and that they're more than just, I don't know, it's something outside of Disney theming.
So here's a question for you, Teresa. How old do you feel that one of the themes is 90s Night?
Well, you know, we had Throwback Day last week at my place of work, and everyone decided to do 90s, so.
Does that make you feel old?
It doesn't, actually. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It should, but it doesn't.
Wait till they do a 2000s night, and you're like, oh.
Right.
But I like the idea of the Date Night because, in fact, I think I'm probably going to choose the Date Night at Disneyland song for our little song in the beginning today, at the beginning of the episode. So I love that song, and it just, when I read about this, that's what it reminded me of. So,
have you ever wanted to dress up for your photos at Disneyland but wouldn't be let in with a costume? Disney could be helping you out. The research and development teams at Disney are working on an augmented reality system that could suit you up in your PhotoPass pictures. They are doing so many really cool and exciting things with PhotoPass pictures. It's more than just a professional photographer taking great and awesome photos of you and your family the only cost to you is the cost of the print. You're not actually having to pay for this person's time to actually take the photos. Plus, they will take these photos on your personal camera or on your cell phones for you, too, which I think is just awesome. But then they added all of those cool little extra effects. Like, you could have, is it what, Baby Groot in your hand? I think I've seen Tinkerbell.
Balloons. You can do balloons.
Yep, balloons. I think I've seen hitchhiking ghosts in your photos with you. I mean, they're doing all these really cool things, but now they're
going
to somehow...
It really makes PhotoPass worth it.
Yeah, well, now they're going to somehow change your, you know, dress you up in costume clothes, too. That's just so awesome.
Now,
so I can't wait to see this.
I will say, if you look at this article that we have linked in the show notes, there are pictures of, like, there's a link to a video that Disney put out about it. And if you look at it, you can tell it's still very rough. Like some of the area behind them doesn't quite line up and stuff. And if you look at the video, it's even crazier. But basically, I think that this is a great first step. And of course, there's so many things now. Our cell phones can do a lot of augmented reality stuff. So I think that's definitely the way things are going. And the fact that like you could go and let's say you go to Galaxy's Edge and you could take a picture in Galaxy's Edge dressed as somebody from that area. And then you could go to Fantasyland and maybe be dressed up as like somebody from one of the movies from there. And then you go over to Cars Land and maybe they do something where you're dressed like a car.
I'd like to see that one.
It's just so cool that like you don't have to have all this stuff. And for kids, you know, I'm sure there's parents that are listening to this that think about how expensive it is that, you know, their kids, they want to take their kids to like the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique or something like that. And it's outrageously expensive. And this would just be included.
Wearing a costume all day for a kid might not be the most comfortable. I mean, depending on the kid, some I know there's some little girls that are just so happy and so proud of their little princess gowns that they're in, and they just, you know, just think the world of their gown. But there might be other kids that really want to be just dressed up for a little part of the day and not maybe the whole thing. So this is, I guess, could be slightly different. But I don't think it. You know, we talk about us dressing as adults and doing like Disney bounding things or even Dapper Days or whatever. I don't know if I would be comfortable all day in those costumes and in those outfits, but I would love to have those photos. So this is, I guess, kind of the happy medium between not even having to be dressed that way, but having the photos still.
Well, you could be like the little kid I saw in the grocery store the other day. It was like the 2nd of November, and he was wearing his Halo Halloween costume still, because they're little kids. They love those costumes, and you can't get them to take them off. So, well, join us on social media sharing your Mickey ears and tag them with hashtag share your ears through November 17th, and Disney will donate $5 per picture, up to $2 million to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. This is a great chance to support an amazing organization as well as help to celebrate Mickey's 90th birthday. Teresa and I will be posting one of these later tonight. We forgot between shows to take a picture, but we're going to do that with our Mickey ears and post it. So $5 Disney will donate over to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is a great organization. They do tons of work with Disney.
It's amazing to me. $2 million. That's mind-boggling. Everyone listening to this podcast probably owns a pair of Mickey ears, whether it's ones that you purchased in the park or maybe it's something you made yourself at home. It doesn't matter. You can post a selfie or post a photo of you with your family and your friends wearing your ears, and be sure to post it, because it's going for a great cause, and this is the best thing about this, is you can help raise money for something that makes a huge difference in people's lives, but it actually is not going to cost you a penny.
Yep, that's the best part about it.
The Oh My Disney YouTube channel will debut Disney People, a series that focuses on Disney fans and how Disney has shaped their lives. There's a link to the trailer in our show notes, which looks like a really fun series. I know most of you listening could be featured on it as well. That's kind of what I was thinking when we were first going through this news piece. I was like, you know, I feel like most of the people that are in our chat and listen to this show could very well be featured in this.
Well, and we mean it in a good way.
I love it.
Yeah, we mean it in a good way.
Yeah.
I'm excited, actually, to watch some of this series. I believe that it's coming out later this week, and they're going to have a few episodes of it. So I'm actually really excited to watch this, because I like documentary kind of stuff anyway, and this kind of seems like it's in a documentary kind of series that kind of they go and they talk to different people about all these different things. And so I'm really excited. Side note, I watched a video this week that was that came up in YouTube that was this guy who had built models of Disneyland, of pieces of Disneyland in his backyard with his train set. And he opens it a few times a year for people to come see. I'll put that in the show notes too.
Wow.
That's something also super cool to watch on YouTube.
Well, it sounds like he could be on this Disney.
Yes. Disney well, that, and that's what I was too. Thinking too. Yep.
That's so cool. Us Disney fans, I mean, maybe I'm a little biased, but I think we're pretty cool. And I think Disney is the thing that's so cool and magical about Disney is that it does change people's lives. And it's just so awesome. So I think that it's great to kind of to shine a light on that, and to maybe, you know, we've got our own little Disney loving communities, but to kind of, you know, make it more than that and kind of let the world know how great and wonderful Disney is and how much it does make a difference for, you know, normal people's lives. I just love it.
At long last, Luxo Jr. has finally been unwrapped at the entrance to Pixar Pier. Luxo Jr. can swivel, bob, and light up in a variety of ways and add some animation to the entrance of the area. Still no word on when Bing Bong will be coming out from behind his wall.
Poor Bing Bong. I feel like it's been a long time for him. So I have high hopes for him. He's going to look awesome. But I was so excited when they had... So they debuted Luxo, but he was wrapped up with this cute little tag. It's been a couple weeks now, so I've been anxiously awaiting, and I'm glad I don't live near the parks, because I probably would have had to have been peeking in every day to see, is he here yet? Has he been unwrapped? Do I get to see what he looks like? And I would have had to have gone back several times, multiple times, to actually have him unwrapped. But how cool. I mean, I think it's so neat to have a moving piece right there in the front entrance that just brings something extra to, instead of having a static statue. So I think it was a really great decision.
Yeah, I agree.
When it comes to riding Grizzly River Run in Disney California Adventure, it's all fun and games until you are left wet after the attraction. Well, no longer. There are now two full-body dryers next to the attraction that can accommodate up to 5 people and cost $5 for 5 minutes of drying.
Lots of fives there.
Five.
You know, I've seen these at other amusement parks before and other theme parks, and I'm kind of surprised that it took this long for Disney to put them in their park. I know that the reason a lot of people go on the attractions is because it is a hot day and you want to be wet for a long time to keep yourself cool. But if you go, let's say, January, when it is a little cooler in Southern California, you kind of don't want to be wet all day.
No, you don't.
So they should put some of these over by Splash, because you kind of get a little wet on Splash. There's a little area in that back corner you can stick
it. But Tag, they give you those Ziplocs. You should be fine.
I'm not going to put my whole self in a Ziploc.
Those very adorably themed Ziplocs, thank you.
Oh, I'll just get all of them and I'll tape them
together.
It'll
be interesting. Well, the hard part, I think, with Splash is, where would you put them?
Well, the exit. There's that whole back corner that's just kind of empty back there.
I feel like Grizzly River Run's got a much more bigger open.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be a little bit of a bottleneck at Splash. So I feel like it will be coming, though, because why would you have it at one water attraction and not the other? I'm sure it'll be coming. I just don't quite know where exactly they would put them.
Yeah.
But I think they're themed, too. I think that's the best thing about these is not only are they there and you can use them, it's a little bit of a bummer that it does cost $5 to use them.
But that's for 5 people, but so technically it could be $1 a person.
You could make friends.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You could make friends. Your whole raft of people that you just rode the...
All right, everybody, give me a buck. Let's all go over to the dryer.
Crazy rapids with... You could all just keep hanging out together and go on over to the dryers and dry off together,
too. There you go.
But anyway, so inside of them, though, they have these very cute cartoon... like bears that are in there also drying off with you. So I think it's really neat that they not only have them there, but they themed them pretty well to the area too.
Agreed. If you're planning on going to the D23 Expo like we are in August, the folks over at D23 have posted a great video on what to expect. The video covers the show floor and all there is to see. From watching this, there is more to do than can possibly done in the 3 days of the Expo, but it does help give an idea for what you may want to prioritize. I watched this, and James was sitting next to me here, and I said, James, there is no way we're going to see most of what is here, even in the 3 days.
No. And I haven't watched it because I'm very torn on if I want to watch it or not, because I don't know if I want to know everything that'll be there because...
Well, it's like in the
like
past.
A
it's
year
nothing
away.
It's nothing specific.
I know.
It's just like, here's the show floor. This is what's on the show floor.
I know.
Here's the retail experiences. Here's how you can get into the retail experiences. Here's what the different things are.
Sure.
Et cetera.
But still, it's more details, and it's still like a year away. Now, okay, it's less than a year away, but it's still forever away, so I can't get myself that hyped about it quite yet because it's a really long wait. But, I was thinking about that before even we had brought this up for our news, was just how much stuff there is to do and how, even though we're there for the full 3 days, how are we going to do everything? Because I'm one of those people that likes to and really kind of needs to do everything. I like to see, I like to do as much as I possibly can. I'm one of those people that when they vacation, I'm exhausted at the end of it because I try to do, sun up to sundown kind of thing.
Sure.
So it's going to be this trip for us is definitely not a sprint. It's going to be a marathon because we've got the 3 days of D23, which Tag and I are going to try and pack every single minute full of everything we possibly can. And you know darn well we're going to be there when the doors open and they're going to be kicking us out at the end of each day.
Yep.
Plus, then we've got 5 days of Disneyland and California Adventure after that. So park open to park closed for those probably too. I don't know when we're going to be able to sleep. Good thing we're at the Howard Johnson. It's not that far.
You said it's not a sprint, that it's a marathon. It's going to be a sprinting marathon.
A sprinting marathon. Yeah, there you go.
It's going to be a sprinting marathon.
This past Sunday was Dapper Day at Disneyland, an unofficial event that encourages everyone to dress up in their best, from vintage classic to contemporary. As usual, thousands showed up dressed in their best to have a great time at the resort. As you all know, I really want to go to Dapper Day so bad. It's just such a cool thing, and the thing that's really interesting to me is that this is not an event that Disneyland puts on. This is something completely separate that's, an unofficial thing, but so many people come out for it, and there's so many amazing costumes. I love how people not only do Dapper Day, but they also Disney bound in their dapperness, and it's just so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely Disney bounding and then also doing a Dapper Day are two things I really want to do.
That's like the next level. Disney bounding plus Dapper Day. It's like...
Well, not at the same time. Well, I guess you could do it at the same time.
You very well could. I think it's like an extra level of Disney bounding if you're Dapper Daying it too.
Level up, extra credit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now we take a trip to Trivia Land where producer James tries to stump us with Disney trivia. He will read us the question tag and I will attempt to answer them, and then James will give us the correct answers after the discussion topic. So for all of you that are listening and watching us in the live show, you guys get to chime in on this too. So what do you have for this week, James?
Well, we got a lot of listener questions this week, so I'm very excited.
Ooh.
So the first one comes from Thompson, and the question is...
Oh, Thompson!
Thompson, yeah! We just talked about Thompson on our feedback episode.
Yeah, I heard
maybe
that
it's
name.
Nightmare Before Christmas themed.
Maybe.
No.
Oh!
So, City Hall on Main Street is based on a real building in a U.S. city. What is the building, and what city is it in?
Oh.
I think it's a courthouse, and it's not Marcellin, Missouri, which is what everybody always said. It's something else. It's like Philadelphia.
See,
Philadelphia.
For some reason, Branson is sticking out in my head, and I have absolutely
like Branson,
no
Missouri.
Like Branson, Missouri, and I have absolutely no idea why. I'm not sure if that's right or not, but that's what I'm going with.
All right, we're probably wrong.
You're probably wrong, but we'll find out.
All right.
So the next question comes from Daniel. Daniel sent me a whole bunch of questions because he found the book 101 Facts and Trivia About Disneyland.
Oh boy.
So this is going to be great.
I think I have that book.
Quick. Can we find it? We get lifelines, right?
Sure. So the question is, which car has the engine for the Casey Jr. attraction?
Ooh. The second car. So it's not the actual thing that it's not the engine. It's the car behind the engine. I think it's maybe looks like it's got, I don't remember if it looks like it has coal in it, but it's the car behind the engine.
I will agree that it is the tender car. That's
Ooh,
what it's called. The tender car.
He's got the fancy special name for it.
Well, you know, railroads, you know, I love the railroads. I love the monorails. So yeah. I said, you and I both said the tender car, basically.
All right, so question number three is, which attraction in Disneyland was the first to have Fast Pass?
Oh, it's a Small World.
I was going to say Indiana Jones.
All right, and your last one, and this I feel like is the guaranteed stumper. This one comes from Kelly.
Kelly.
So there's a rather obscure character mentioned in the park, and he goes by the name Patrick Begora. What is he better known as? And where can you find his house?
Patrick. Oh. Ah. Patrick Begora is the little man. The little man of Disneyland. And he's got the little house. It's next to the queue. It's next to the queue. Crap. It's next to Indiana Jones, I think. It's in Adventureland. It's at the base of one of the trees.
Wow. Good job, Tag. I'm going to jump on that train.
Well, we'll see if Tag's excitement pays off after the discussion topic.
All right. So the most voted discussion topic that was not the ones we're going to cover in a couple weeks, because we're going to cover the Disney World, Disneyland one next week with Concierge. Mm-hmm. We have another topic that's coming up that I put some comments on there that we'll need to have a guest for the tips for surviving a day at Disney with kids, because we don't have kids. An all trivia episode. James is not feeling that great tonight, so we're not going to do that one.
No pressure, James.
So the next highest one was the cross-promoting Disney material, like movies more often, or value to creating original IPs like Haunted Mansion and Pirates in the Park, or how it should be balanced.
So I feel like we're going to do this one. So we took inspiration from this topic this week, and we're going to talk about some things that just recently came out that kind of go in line with this. So I feel like for me, this topic has a lot in it, and there's a lot of different things that we could do separate discussions on. I don't think it's just one discussion topic. So we're going to go with the other Disney material, I guess, is where maybe this would come into play.
This last week was Mickey's 90th anniversary or 90th birthday spectacular.
Yes.
Which, judging by people in the chat and judging by my own opinion of these things, was interesting. It definitely had some great highlights, but I think that definitely there was some things that it could have been a little more magical for me, I guess, in some ways. I miss the Disney, and I explained this to James when I was watching. I was like, you know, I kind of miss the Disney specials of old where they would take their properties, like one that I remember fondly that my uncle actually recorded for me on VHS and had me watch was they had a Muppets Go to Disney World thing. And it's obvious, growing up now, it was obviously to try to get kids excited to go to Disney World. Mm-hmm. But the Muppets were there, and they like were running around all the different parks, and they saw their buddy on the thing, so they went and got on the attraction and rode the attraction. And so like it got everybody excited because you're like, the Kermit was on Big Thunder. So there's all that stuff, and that's kind of where they used to be. And now like this Mickey's 90th thing was nice. They brought a bunch of all these famous people, which Teresa and I had an old person moment because we didn't know who some of the people were.
Yes.
But it is like it's just a bunch of like names and not like a lot of real good connections to Disney. It's just kind of like here's some famous people talking about what their Disney thing was, and that I don't know. That's not what I want.
So, for those of you that did not watch the Spectacular, it did air on ABC this past weekend on November 4th. I actually and Tag we watched it on Hulu, so you can still watch it on Hulu.
Yep,
it is there to
stream.
It's there to stream, and usually those things are on there for quite a while.
Yeah.
So you've got plenty of time to watch it. But yep. Yeah, so this was really cool, though, because the thing that I really enjoyed is that Mickey, it was all about Mickey, and he was there the entire time.
Yep.
Even if he wasn't center stage, he still had his own little, like, area with his couch that he was, like, chilling on and watching all of the different acts perform on the stage. It was just really
laughing.
Cool. But, yeah, and totally in character the entire time, which mm-hmm. was really great. But the thing that was so like extra special for me and for this show was that it was the new costumes that Mickey actually was able to talk. His mouth moved. He blinked.
Yep.
He was very more Minnie animated.
Too.
Minnie too. So that was just really cool. And the thing that I also was just very, very impressed with was they did do a really good job. I learned a lot of like historical things.
Yeah.
They touched a lot on like the beginnings of where Mickey came from, which mm-hmm. most people aren't crazy Disney people like we are, and so they may not know
yep.
that Walt really, really struggled for quite a while and almost like went it almost didn't happen. You know, Walt Disney, the company as we know today, really it took him a really long time. It was a very long uphill battle for him, and it truly did all start with a mouse. Mickey is the reason that Walt Disney, the company, is what it is today. And so
yep.
I think it's great that they were paying, you know, homage to him. It is his 90th birthday month, and he looks awesome for being 90.
It was good. I enjoyed, like you said, the people that brought Mickey to life, we'll say, did an amazing job of doing that. There was mm-hmm. a scene, or there was a segment where Mickey was playing the drums.
Yes.
Like, and I can't play
drums.
Going
all out playing the drums. I mean, all out. It was not like, you know, just half going on the drums.
Yeah.
And really, there was a professional drummer like off stage behind it, and he was just looking. No, he was like rocking out on
yeah.
those drums. How on earth that person, you know, how Mickey was doing that, I
Mickey
don't know.
Mickey and Minnie came out and danced
yes,
together, which I thought was amazing.
Beautiful lyrical dance. And not only was this big and open and very expressive, there were kicks and there were dips, but there was also the stage was full of fog the entire
yeah.
time. I mean, I don't know if you guys have looked at Mickey and Minnie's feet, but they don't have small feet.
No.
And really, those ears, they've got to get in the way. So for them to be as graceful and as smooth and mm-hmm. flowing as they were on that dance floor, it was awesome. Plus, the rendition of Colors of the Wind was just awesome. I really like when people, popular stars, redo some of the Disney classic songs kind of in their own way, but it
sure.
works. And I think that one really worked.
Yeah, a highlight for me was Bare Necessities. I thought
yes,
that was done
that was
really well, but
too.
I love the song Bare Necessities. Overall, I
always
think it was really good. But again, another thing that I really liked, and of course listeners to the podcast will like, they actually mentioned Disneyland more than they mentioned Disney World, which is great because I'm always one of those people that, you know, I feel like Disneyland's like the forgotten, you know, little brother
yeah.
of Disney World. And so they always are like, Disney World, Disney World, Disney World. And this year it was Disneyland. And so it was good. I thought the, you know, the people in the audience and stuff were really excited about a lot of it. I liked hearing some of the stories from the presenters that were there. They kind of talked about it at the end where they had the segment with the Mickey Mouse Club people. I thought that was great.
They had two of the original Mickey Mouse, well, the Mouseketeers from the Mouse, the Mickey Mouse Club.
She was so adorable running out there.
Yes. What was it? Sharon and Bobby, I believe.
Yeah, Sharon.
Were their names. They were so awesome.
Sharon looked like she was there for Mickey's birthday. But she was happier than Mickey was to be there.
She was excited. Yeah. It was awesome. It was so cool. And then everybody in the audience got to be inducted, and they were honorary Mouseketeers.
Yeah.
It was very cool. The thing that really sticks out with me, for those of you that have seen it or for those of you that maybe haven't seen it yet, I do think it is worth the time to watch.
Yeah.
It was like a 2-hour long thing. That was probably
like an hour
commercial
and a half
break.
On Hulu,
so
without the commercials.
Yeah, so like it is a long thing to sit down and, you know, watch through. But I think it was worth it. I don't know if it's one of those things that I would have to watch over and over again.
Yeah.
But just watching all the things that Mouse could do was just impressive. He was break dancing.
Yeah.
We already said he was playing the drums. He was slow dancing.
Mm-hmm.
What other things was he doing?
He got up and set off the end fireworks and stuff, like very phantasmic-esque.
Classic Mickey fashion, set off fireworks.
Although I will say, I had not seen too much of the new Mickey animation style, and I have to say, I personally am not a fan of the new animation style for Mickey. What did you think?
I'm always one for the classic,
so
that's just me.
They did have, we've talked about it before on the show, they did have a lot of pictures of Mickey and Minnie in the parks in the early days. And when we say that, we mean the terrifying Mickey. There was some terrifying Mickey pictures.
Yes, there were. But, you know, that's where he started, so he had to be there too.
Now, so we talked a little bit. Did you have anything else to say about Mickey's thing that you want to talk about? No? Okay. So I think back to when I was a kid and went to Disneyland, if we're talking about cross-promoting materials and movies and all that stuff, was my friend Beth actually went, and she went during, and I vaguely remember this, but she remembers it really well, is they had the Disney Afternoon Avenue, because back in the day, they had the Disney Afternoon, which is a lot of the animated things. So it's like Tailspin and Chippendale Rescue Rangers and Darkwing Duck. So they had a whole area back by, it's a Small World, that kind of mall area there, where they had this neighborhood set up, and some of the attractions were kind of overlaid and themed to this stuff. And it was just there for the summer to promote the Disney Afternoon. One thing I definitely remember is they had the Lion King parade. When Lion King came out that summer, they had the parade. Nowadays, I feel like a lot of the time when they bring movies to the parks, they don't bring it with the movie.
Yeah, I think they're
how
kind
long
of,
did it take for Frozen to get, like, yeah, years, and then it was everywhere.
I think they're kind of hesitant. I think they wait to see if the movie's going to be a flop or not. You know, is it going to be a flop or is it going to be a hit? And then they decide whether or not they're going to bring it into the park or not.
But don't you kind of think, in a way, like, I don't think maybe don't pull a trigger on, like, a, you know, few million dollar attraction off of something that's not proven. But don't you think that, like, just like a parade for a summer, like a fairly simple parade to kind of, like, you know, pump up some excitement for the movie or something?
Yeah.
Because the Lion King parade was amazing. And if you've been to Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the show in Animal Kingdom?
Yes, and isn't
those
that,
are the floats?
I was gonna say, isn't that the floats?
Yeah, so that was part of the parade, and then of course they recycled it for Animal Kingdom, which, you know, they could do the same thing if they were to do, you know, little things like that. And so you don't have to put a bunch of millions of dollars into an attraction; you can just do a parade or something like that. And then, of course, we talk about classics like Pirates and Haunted. Those things were not movies when they were created. And I feel like with the parks, we're getting less and less of that over time.
Yeah, you know,
original things, you know, that weren't IP before.
The thing that's kind of, I'm at a rock and a hard place with this, because personally, I would love to see more originals.
Yeah.
And, you know, those kind of classic things that stand the test of time. But then I put myself on the spot and think, well, if I were an Imagineer, what would the next thing be? What is the next thing that I could think of that would be like Space Mountain or like the Haunted Mansion? You know, something that is completely its own but would stand the test of time. And I don't know, maybe I'm not that creative, but I really can't think of what they could do that isn't somehow already represented in the park. And so maybe that's where the company's at. Maybe that's where the Imagineers are at too. But I would challenge them, because there's got to be something out there. Because like I said, I don't consider myself to be that creative of a person. But, you know, so maybe that's just the rock and the hard spot. Well, they know that these, you know, that like things like Alice in Wonderland, Snow White, and then even more, more up-to-date things like Tangled or Coco or Tarzan or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they know that people love these characters, and so bringing them to the park is a sure hit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it makes me very, very sad that over in, now I know that this is a Disneyland show, but I'm very sad that in Epcot they actually took out an original. They took out Maelstrom to make it into the Frozen thing, which I thought and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Maelstrom wasn't as popular as I thought it was. I really, honestly, I remember growing up and watching videos that were promoting, like, take your family to Disney World, and like they had clips from inside of that attraction. I always thought that it looked so, so neat and so, so cool. And the last time that I went to Walt Disney World, I was so disappointed that it was closed, because that's when they were doing the swap and changing it into a Frozen theming instead.
Right.
So I don't want them to get rid of these IPs. I don't want to see them get rid of these originals and replace them with some of the things with the movies. But I don't know. If it were up to you, Tag, do you have an idea for what a new original could be?
I don't have anything specific, but I do think that you need to take something that's timeless. Like, and again, when I say these terms, I'm not saying them in Disney context. I'm saying in the general context.
Yeah.
Themes like pirates, like ghosts, like a haunted house. Mm-hmm. You got to take these things that are classics, that are timeless, these concepts, and you got to turn them into an attraction. And that's kind of where they all started, right? Because Pirates was going to be a walkthrough. Haunted Mansion was going to be a walkthrough. Take something that you could see in a museum somewhere, something that's intriguing there, and turn it into an attraction. Doug in our chat is bringing up a great example. This is the other thing I was thinking of, is they had the Great River Expedition that was going to be an attraction that they were going to build way back when, that was going to be almost like a Big Thunder Mountain, you know, and again, Big Thunder Mountain's another thing. It's a runaway mine train. That's so generic, but people love it, and it's such a thing. So you got to come up with stuff like that, that isn't tied to an IP. And one of the things I think is most successful about things that you don't tie to an IP is, not that anything has to last that long, but if you were to make an attraction based off of a runaway mine train, right, which they have.
Mm-hmm.
That is still, people are going to still get that, and it's still going to be popular 100 years from now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Where Spider-Man may not be popular 100 years from now. Like, people might move on to something else, or it like became like an old thing. You know what I mean? Like, there was a whole period of time where Batman was kind of out of style, you know, from the 60s, you know, after the 60s, Batman kind of fell off the radar. So people weren't really like all about Batman.
And he's popular again.
But now he's popular again, but like he wasn't continuously popular. But themes like pirates, like haunted houses, like, you know, thrill things like a runaway mine train, that type of stuff. Those things, I think, are generic enough that they will be popular forever.
I agree. And so the thing that is very difficult for me is, I feel like all of those classic things that, like, you're going through, you know, the Wild West, so the runaway mine train, or, you know, zooming through space and being, you know, flying amongst the stars.
Yeah.
All of the originals that we already have there are there. I can't think of anything past that. I feel like do you think that they've already covered all of the bases of originals, and so they're coming into a wall that, do I do another haunted house? Do we do something else related to space, but maybe we twist it and have, I don't know, aliens a part of it?
Right.
You know, I'm just spitballing random things. But you know what I mean? Have they covered all of the classic ideas? Are those already in the park, and maybe that's why they're going to
maybe
things that are on movies instead?
See, I feel like in my mind, and maybe this is just my lack of vision of things.
But, like, we're not Imagineers here.
But I'm thinking, you know, and I've said this before, I liked the idea when Disneyland was created that there are lands that are very generic. There's Adventure Land.
Yes.
Which is just adventure, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing specific. There's New Orleans Square. There's Frontierland. There's Fantasyland. For me, IPs belong in, like, Fantasyland, because it's all, like, fantasy. Or, like, Hollywood Studios, or over in California Adventure in the back lot. I feel like that's a great spot for intellectual property things, because that's where you would go to see that kind of stuff. When you get into things like a Toy Story Land, or a Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and or Pandora, where it's a whole land based off of one IP, I worry that, again, 50 years from now, maybe people are over Star Wars. They got, you know, Disney over Star Wars to everybody, and it's not the hot thing anymore. And now you got this whole land that you can't just re-theme or make one attraction disappear. It's a whole land. It's 14, Galaxy's Edge is 14 acres that you have to rejigger 14 acres worth, and that's just a, it's just like, you could see it now with Tomorrowland. Tomorrowland needs a lot of help. They haven't done anything with Tomorrowland. What makes you think they're going to do something with Star Wars Land?
Oh, no, and I totally agree with you, but I'm just pushing it and saying, what should they do instead?
Well, I don't know, and that's, I'm not an Imagineer, but they are brilliant people, and like Doug had said with the Great River Expedition, there are ideas out there like that. There was a great idea that I saw for, there was a Disney one that was, it was going to be this grand, it was in the Beastly Kingdom of Animal Kingdom, and it was going to be this whole, this dragon was going to be like after you and stuff, oh, and all this stuff.
You know,
and it sounded so cool.
The thing that's so cool about that too is you can see a hint to that ride, because when, or that attraction that never came to be, because when you go visit Animal Kingdom, their, I don't, maybe it's the their entrance. Logo, whatever you want to call it, their entrance, it's got every part of it makes sense, because there's different animals that are a part of it, and it all makes sense, except there's a dragon, and the dragon makes, to me, no sense. There's a lion, there's an elephant, you know, the animals that you're seeing on the safari, there's a dinosaur, which the dinosaur ride is in Animal Kingdom, so that makes total sense, but right in the center there is a dragon, which to me, I see that and I'm like, wow, what? Like, that looks so out of place, but knowing the history of it is kind of interesting that they kept it as part of their logo.
Yeah. But it's just
there
one
you
of those...
go. That's what we need. Can we get some sort of Murphy themed ride or attraction? That's not exactly an original.
See, you could put in this. I would be a fan of in Fantasyland. You could make a villains attraction where you are the good guy, kind of like Fantasmic, but in an attraction.
There you go.
And you are trying to escape, and all of the villains are trying to get you. That's an original thing that uses IP that I think would still be good.
You know, I just thought of an original IP thought. You could, over in New Orleans Square.
Sure.
So I don't know where you'd put it, because there's really not that much room.
Yep.
But this is where, in my mind, the theming would work best. You could do some sort of bayou swamp themed attraction.
You could.
Because that
with
would
gators
fit.
Gators and everything.
With gators, that would fit. That's kind of a timeless thing.
You could
maybe
do like a voodoo some, guys after
oh, yeah,
you.
Oh, yeah. Voodoo things.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And that's different enough from pirates, but would fit in New Orleans Square well.
Mm-hmm. I want, you know, it's a really, I want an answer to it, because I want, this is really what I want. I want originals, but it is very hard for me to know what that is that I want, because it's, you know, sky's the limit, but then you really sit and you really think about it for a minute. It's like, oh, well, what else could you do? I feel like they did all the great ones. They did all the obvious ones. So for me, it's hard to figure out maybe something that's a little less obvious, but still fits that, you know, still fits that classic timeless feel as the Matterhorn, Space Mountain. Even It's a Small World. Like that's completely its own little thing.
Yep. Yeah, that's just celebrating Children of the World. Like,
exactly.
Bringing people together. I don't know. There's a lot to work there, I guess.
If you guys have any original idea concepts, I would love to hear them. Because honestly, the more that we kind of delve in and talk about this and bring this up, like I said, Tay and I are on the same page. We both want the same thing. But I'm just having a hard time answering the question of what, if I were the Imagineer, what would I do?
And what do you guys think? Like, what do you want to see? Do you want to see more intellectual property in the parks? Do you want to see more whole lands dedicated to one intellectual property? Or would you rather see them put into, like, a generic land, like Adventureland, Frontierland, Fantasyland, and just be one attraction in one of those lands? Like, what do you prefer? And let's see what your feedback is for that. Now, We're going to end the discussion in the same kind of place that we began the discussion. So in the beginning, we talked about Mickey's 90th. So there was another special on this week that we were really excited for. And actually, I thought turned out, overall, I think I enjoyed more than Mickey's 90th. And that was the Hocus Pocus 25th anniversary Halloween bash.
So this originally aired on October 20th. And this was this one was a little bit shorter. It was a 90-minute special.
Sure.
Oh, but it was so amazing. And honestly, if you love, and I know not everybody's a fan of Hocus Pocus, I get it. But if you love this movie, you need to watch this special. I wasn't as excited about, they had a really awesome costume contest. So if you're into like costuming.
See, this is the weird thing to me. That so was you really like the cool. costume contest.
It didn't make sense to me. I felt it seemed out of place. But those people, man, those costumes, I got to give them props because those were amazing.
I don't
costumes.
Agree with the person who won it, though. Like, it was cool, but I don't think they should have won.
We weren't the judges. Yeah. they didn't ask us.
Right.
But anyway, so.
It was good.
It's very unique, very well done costumes in this runway costume contest. To me, that took took away from the Hocus Pocus focus. So it wasn't my favorite thing. I do think it was neat, but I didn't quite, it just kind of felt slightly out of place for me. And I didn't really get that excited. They had some musical performances and they stuck to all original, you know, Hocus Pocus songs. Whereas we didn't really talk about this, but in the Mickey's special, his 90th celebration, they had a couple of songs in there that actually weren't Disney related, which was also, you know, fine. But this was all, you know, all Hocus Pocus. But the thing that was so cool, guys, is they had so many of the actors and actresses that were in Hocus Pocus that came back to be a part of this special. But they had so many really cool and really interesting behind the scenes footages and kind of sneak peeks, and they explain different things like how they made the witches fly and how many hours it took for Billy Butcherson to get his makeup on. And I learned something really cool that I never really paid that close of attention to, but in the movie towards the end, when Billy gets a knife and he finally cuts open, so his mouth is stitched shut for the entire movie, for those of you that don't know, he finally is able to cut his mouth open. I didn't realize that that actor had live moths in his mouth and he spit out live moths for that scene. I thought that it was just paper and dust and, you know, whatever. And I thought that was kind of, you know, that if that were me, I wouldn't want those things in my mouth. That seems a
little. Practical effects, man. I miss them.
But it was just great. It was just amazing. The things, the little details that you learned about the behind the scenes process of that movie was so, so neat.
Yeah. Yeah. My sadness with this special was a lot of the stuff that was in this special should have also been included on the DVD special features. And that was something I was sad about because I did buy the DVD, the Blu-ray that came out that was with that, that was supposed to have all these special features. And I was really excited because I love Hocus Pocus. And then it wasn't that great. And then when I saw the spectacular, they had a lot of that stuff in there. Now, one thing I am waiting for, and oh man, I wish they could have had all three of the actresses there, Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker and Kathryn Najimy. Kathryn Najimy was there.
She was.
And she came out and did like a cool little thing. But I tell you what, I wish all of them would have been there. And they all want to do it. I wish Disney would just find a script and make a sequel because all three of them really want to do it again. And I just want to see a movie with the Sanderson sisters. I don't care about anything else. It could be terrible. And as long as those characters are there, I'm fine with it.
So what I was hoping for, because I knew that the final musical production was going to be I Put a Spell on You. In the back of my mind, I still had the hopes because they had interviews. They had interviews with Sarah Jessica Parker, and like Tag said, Kathy Najimy was Najimy. I can't even say it. Kathy Najimy was actually there, and then of course Bette Midler. They had multiple interviews with Bette Midler that they featured too. But Bette and Sarah weren't actually there. They were, you know, they had done their filming and done their interview somewhere else. I was hoping beyond hope that those three were going to come out and they were going to be the ones to sing "I Put a Spell on You." And you know, I kind of wonder if it wasn't on purpose that they weren't there because they didn't want to give everybody that high expectation. Mm. And because if all three of them were there, they would have had to have done it.
Right.
They would have had to have. There's no way that they would have been able to get out of there with that many diehard Hocus Pocus fans without doing a performance
Well, they were surprised. That. They were surprised that so many people had shown up for the taping that they had to like stop letting people in because so many people had shown up. They said that during the broadcast. So I don't know. It was
so
good.
Cool.
It was good. If you have time and if you have Hulu, this and the Mickey's 90th were on Hulu. So I would suggest go to Hulu, watch this stuff if you can. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth it. Both of them are.
I think
are
worth
so it.
Too. I think so too. And even if Hocus Pocus isn't your thing, you gotta watch it for the costumes. The costumes were just crazy. They were very, yes, there were Hocus Pocus costumes mixed into the contest as well, but so many very unique creations that were there too that I think, I didn't quite understand how it fit, but it is Halloween after all. So it was a Halloween party. And what is a Halloween party without a costume contest? So it's kind of made sense, kind of didn't, but yeah, anyways, lots of cool things. Plus, they had the people that were actually there were the actors and actresses that played Max, Danny, Emily, Billy Butcherson, and then the two, what were their names? Ice and then that other guy that were kind of the bullies. They yeah. were there too, and they were really fun. I thought it was really cool to find out that they have remained close all these years later. And actually, one of the other cool things that we learned from this was that a lot of their lines, they actually came up with
improvised.
Themselves, and they kind of like played off each other and improvised. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really kind of neat because really they weren't, you know, they were young kids at the time. This was, I think for most of them, their first big movie
yeah.
for some of these, you know, for some of the kids that were in this. So
yeah.
they thought it was really cool that they were able to kind of go through this and figure out their own lines, take it to, you know, the big man, the director. And he's like, yeah, that's awesome. Go with it.
Well, Kenny Ortega is really awesome. Those of you may know that Kenny Ortega also directed the High School Musical franchise and the Descendants franchise.
Oh.
So he has been really good with all this stuff. He's been kind of a hit maker for a lot of stuff. And I really like a lot of his stuff. Have you seen The Descendants? I like The Descendants.
I haven't. I've been
you
on
should.
The fence about if I want to watch it or not.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
Well, no, I mean, like, because sometimes you might think that it might be terrible because it was a Disney Channel
well,
movie.
And it's for,
but it was
it's
good.
For kids, so, like, you know, is it relevant for us as adults? Do we find, you know, humor?
I enjoyed it. I feel like James would judge me
humor,
for enjoying
humor
it.
Is
but.
Different for kids than it is for adults, you know. So sometimes things that work really, really well for kids, maybe not so much for adults, but...
But what does really well is when you get something that works really well for both
mm-hmm.
on different levels.
Oh, because
have you
exactly.
ever had a show you've watched as a kid, and then when you watch it again as an adult, you're like, I get all these other jokes now. It's like a whole different thing.
Okay, so I know we're on a Disney-related podcast.
Sure.
Shrek.
Shrek oh, yeah,
was that
Shrek
movie
is...
for me. I enjoyed it so much when I was a kid, and there were so many funny things in it that I enjoyed when I was a kid, and then watching it again as an adult, there were extra funny things
yep.
and extra things for me.
Because all the
so
stuff
that was
goes
really
over
cool.
your head.
But the fact that they can do that so seamlessly that it just goes right over the kid's head, and, you know, it's just, it's so cool.
Yep. Yep. All right. So, what did you guys think? Did any of you guys watch any of these two shows? Let us know. Send us some feedback. Let us know what you thought about all this stuff. Let us know what you think about cross-promoting things, more movies in the parks, other IPs, what your thoughts would be for more generic stuff.
Yes, I'm curious what you guys have to think about, what you guys think about what you would do for a new original attraction at one of the Disney parks. What do you think of my Bayou idea? That was just kind of off the cuff.
Yeah.
It could work and it could be really cool.
Yeah. Well, now it's time to return to James and Trivia Land to get the answers to the trivia and find out how wrong we are.
Very, very wrong.
Very wrong.
Wow, you have no confidence in yourselves.
Well, you know, it's just every week we come and get flogged.
You know, it's not hopeful when nobody in our live chat, all however many of them there are here, nobody answered a single question. They had no guesses even.
Well, I have good news. You got at least one right this
Holy
week.
Holy cow.
So. All right. So our first question from Thompson was, City Hall on Main Street is based on a real building in a U.S. city. What is the building and what city is that in?
And we said, I said a courthouse
yeah,
in Philly,
courthouse,
and she said a courthouse
Branson.
In Branson.
It's probably none of the above.
Nope. Wrong building, wrong states. So it was actually based on the old firehouse in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Oh, I knew that. No. There's so many. This is my problem with Disney trivia and Disney history. I've read all these things, but they don't all stick.
Shut down.
So as soon as you ask these questions, it's one of those, oh, I know this. I know I'm supposed to know this, but what is it?
You should have known. Walt loved his fire trucks and fire stations
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah.
So. All right, our second question.
Well, the fact that there's a fire pole.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, it was a fire pole.
but that's not in, he's talking about City Hall. That's not in City Hall.
It's next to, it's City Hall adjacent.
All right, next.
All right, second question from Daniel was, which car has the engine for the Casey Jr. attraction?
This is going to be the one I'm saying we got correct.
Tender
the,
car.
The second car, for those of us that don't speak train.
So the answer is, it's in the Magic Organ car.
Ooh.
And that may or may not be the second car.
Let me look.
Let's Casey. Look, because I just said second car. So there's still hope for me.
I think
I didn't make any fancy names.
I think you're right. I think the Oregon car is the second one. Let's look. Hold on.
Casey Jr. running da 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 da. Sorry.
No, this is great filler music. Keep
That's
going.
Make it. Yeah, it's the second car.
It
so
is the second
give
car.
Give Teresa the point. Do not give me the point.
All right. Third question. What attraction was the first in Disneyland to feature Fast Pass?
Ooh,
I said It's a Small World.
And I said Indiana Jones.
Tag gets the point.
Wow.
It's a Small World.
You know why I remember that?
No.
Because I thought it was such a weird attraction to try it out on, like, It's a Small World.
Okay, you don't need to put this in the podcast, but you need to re-listen to last week's trivia.
Okay.
Because I said It's a Small World had Fast Passes, and you said, no, it doesn't.
No, for... You're right.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
All right, last question.
Well, yeah, so if you're wondering, It's Small World got its Fast Pass in 1999, and it was after they did testing with it at Walt Disney World. So
okay.
All right, so the last question from Kelly. There's a rather obscure character mentioned in the park for Patrick Bagora. What is he better known as, and where can you find his house?
And I said the little man of Disneyland, and you said you were jumping on that train.
Yep.
And I cannot believe you got that right. I should have not made that as easy as I did for you. You are correct.
Oh, I have to
and
disagree.
And where it was? Was he
not
in Adventureland?
Yes, he is known as the little man of Disneyland, and there's a little tree by the adventure. Or by Indiana Jones in Adventureland that has
good
his little
job,
house.
Tag.
Yeah, because
I'm not gonna
there's actually
for that.
There's a book called Little Man of Disneyland. You can buy it at Disneyland, and it's about him.
Yep, it came out the same year that the Disneyland park opened, actually. So
there
it
you
fits
go.
Really well. Well, it's way more fun for me to ask trivia questions that you all submit. So if you have ideas on how to help me stump Tag and Teresa every week, shoot me an email at producer@disneylandweekly.com. And it'll probably end up at the show, and then we can laugh along as Tig and Teresa struggle to answer it.
So here's a question for you, James. Have you been keeping track of our score?
Oh, boy.
No, but I could easily tally that.
You should, because I think it would be awesome to find out how terrible we've all done.
Do we really want to know?
Sounds like fun.
Do we really want to know?
Well, did you enjoy listening to me and Teresa squirm with trivia on this episode? If you did, you could support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you want access to the supporter chat that we always talk about, it's only 75 cents an episode. Please consider joining supporters like Miguel, and head over to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
We love seeing reviews on iTunes, plus it helps get our ranking better so more people can find us and join in the community. If you want to join in the conversation, you can follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DisneylandWeekly, on Twitter at DLWeekly, on Instagram at Instagram.com/DLWeekly, or by sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. Don't forget to send trivia questions to producer@DisneylandWeekly.com. There is also the voicemail at 657-345-4445. And the P.O. box listed on our website at DisneylandWeekly.com. Feel free to email, Facebook, Instagram comment, tweet, call, or mail us any questions, feedback, or suggestions that you may have about the show. The feedback that we receive will be discussed on the listener feedback specials that we record and post monthly. We did just finish recording October's feedback, so be on the lookout for that episode later this week.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.